drought. Drought's a very big problem, very hot topic, and very prevalent. It's receiving a lot of attention recently, and for good reason. As of October 18th, 2007, many parts of the country are not only under a severe or extreme drought environment, but they're under an exceptional drought environment, especially in parts in the southeast and out west. So as the turfgrass industry moves forward, and new cultivars are being bred and released, drought-tolerant cultivars are not only going to be desirable, but really necessary, as water restrictions continue to become more and more of a reality for our turfgrass managers. So at Clemson, we're currently exploring the role of biotechnology as a potential tool to enhance cultivars' performance under drought. And there are many traits of interest for transgenic turfgrasses. Here's just a brief list. Some groups are working on disease resistance, shade tolerance, herbicide resistance. But at Clemson, we're focusing on both drought and salt tolerance. And for this talk, I'm mainly going to focus on the drought tolerance aspect of our research. Okay, well, grasses have many mechanisms to deal with droughts. The first is drought tolerance. Basically, plants are undergoing osmotic adjustments. They're able to increase solute accumulation within their cells, which is potassium, sodium, and calcium. And this lowers the osmotic potential of the cell, thereby minimizing water loss and also increasing water movement within the plants. And a classic drought avoidance strategy are turf grasses that produce a deep root system. And this enables a plant to explore and exploit water deep in the soil profile, enabling it to survive in periods of dry soil conditions. So now for plants to maintain an osmotic adjustment, they really rely on pH gradients, and three proton pumps in the plants maintain these gradients. The first is the ATPase pump, the second is a vacuolar ATPase, and the third is a pyrophosphatase pump. And we are mainly focusing on this last pump, this pyrophosphatase. And the main reason is it's relatively simple to control, because it's encoded by one single gene, that's AVP1, and that's from Arabidopsis. Compare that to the second pump, the vacuolar ATPase. This is encoded by 26 genes. So in order to manipulate this pump, you need to encode each gene at the right time, at the right level of expression. So it's very difficult. So again, this pump that we're focusing on is only encoded by one single gene. That's the AVP1. That's from Arabidopsis. Okay, there have been a few projects dealing with this particular gene. And this is in Arabidopsis in 2001. And they were looking to improve the drought and salt tolerance of Arabidopsis. So they overexpressed the AVP1 gene in Arabidopsis. And this picture here is following 10 days of 250 millimolar of salt. As you can see, there's certainly an improvement in the visual quality of these transgenic lines compared to the control. And they went on to measure many parameters and noted that these transgenic lines, or transgenic plants, indicated in the black and gray bars, increase their solute accumulation in their plant tissues compared to the control. And they went on to do further tests and noted that the transgenic plants were able to accumulate a lot of this sodium in their vacuoles, thereby minimizing the toxic effects of this cation compared to the wild type or the control. They also went on to investigate drought stress. And again, they overexpressed this AVP1 gene. And this is 10 days without water. And you can see all plants are showing some signs of wilt. And this is following one day after drought. And you can see the transgenic lines were able to recover from many damaging effects from this drought episode, whereas the wild type plants eventually wilted and died and were unable to recover. So they measured relative water content and noted that the wild type, which is the last bar in this graph, had a significantly lower relative water content by day 6 and by day 8 compared to the transgenic plants. And they also measured water potential and noted a more negative water potential for the transgenic plants compared to the control, indicating some sort of osmotic adjustment is probably occurring, enabling the plant to survive under low soil water conditions. And they were interested in noting, does this gene have any influence on the behavior of the stomates? And they noted no significant differences between the control and the transgenic plants. So this gene does not seem to influence the behavior of the stomates. And then one more brief study I'd like to share with you. This is in 2005, and they overexpressed this AVP1 gene in tomato. And this is under well-watered conditions, so no stress. And they noted that the two transgenic lines were able to produce a greater root system compared to the control or wild types. Here's the data to support that. So they concluded that this gene may also play a role in root development, which has obvious benefits during periods of droughts. Okay, so our hypothesis, overexpressing an Arapidopsis gene, ABP1, will enhance the performance of creeping bentgrass when water is limited. Okay, so for our transformation, we use two plasmid constructs, and a construct is just composed of three basic components. First is a promoter, which turns the genes on or off. The second, a coding sequence, this designates the amino acid sequence of the protein to be turned on, so basically it encodes proteins. And the final component is a termination signal, and this signals to the plant that gene expression is complete and stops transcription. So again, we use two constructs. The first, we used a cauliflower mosaic virus, indicated right here, and this drove the expression of our ABP1 gene. Again, this is our drought-tolerant gene, which is from Arapidopsis. Our second construct, we used a rice ubiquitin promoter, and this drove the expression of the BAR gene. And this gene is responsible for herbicide resistance. And for our project, we used Finale as our herbicide. And so this gene really serves as our selectable marker for transformation. So how do we produce these transgenic plants? Well, first we start off with mature seeds of bentgrass. In our cultivar, we use Pin A4. And we place them in a callus induction medium for a period of 5 to 6 weeks until we get an appropriate size callus. And a callus is nothing more than a group of stem cells. We've never worked with this before. And so when they're at appropriate size, we separate the callus into smaller 1 to 2 millimeter size pieces. So at this point now, we're ready for our DNA delivery. And for our project, we chose Agrobacterium transformation. Basically, an Agrobacterium is in a solution or liquid form, and it contains our two constructs, which has our genes of interest. So we pipette 10 microliters of the Agrobacterium solution onto each callus. So basically, we're infecting each callus with our two constructs, or our two genes. And then we place the callus, after a 3-day incubation period, onto a new growth medium. And this medium has a herbicide in it. So this is our transformation process, or our selection process. And so if the callus survive under this new growth medium with a herbicide present, then it should be transgenic. And so from this step, the callus that survive that selection process, we place them on a new regeneration medium, and this promotes shoot growth. And about 4 to 5 weeks following this, we transfer them to a new medium, and this promotes root growth. And so for the next month or two, we'll monitor shoot development and root development, and then we're ready to place them in the soil once they're at an appropriate size. Okay, so on to some preliminary results from this work. So our first step, we extracted genomic DNA from bentgrass, and we ran PCR. And all this is telling us is our gene of interest, which is ABP1, is it present or is it not present in the plant? And a couple of components to this picture, this lane here, the second lane, is our positive control. So in this lane, we know that this gene is present in this sample, indicated by this white mark right here. The next lane is our negative control, and this is a sample that we know the gene is not present in, so therefore it's a blank lane. And these next three lanes, these are actually our bentgrass samples. So indicated by those white marks, or white markings that you see, we're fairly confident that yes, this gene is present in these three samples, or these three grasses. So based on that, we just conducted a brief preliminary study, drought study. We placed our grasses in containers about 4 centimeters in width, 20 centimeters in length, and our sand media was sand-based, our soil profile, therefore to induce a drought environment. This was in a growth chamber. Our max temperature was 23 degrees C. Our day length was 12 hours. Our light intensity 600 micromoles per meter squared per second, and they were established for 2 weeks before a drought initiation. And our drought period was withholding water for 7 days, and then we rehydrated the plants to monitor its recovery. Okay, and this is from day 5 into the drought experiment, and NT stands for non-transgenic, so this is our control pot, and TG is transgenic. And by day 5, we're already beginning to see our non-transgenic plants showing signs of wilt, or beginning to show some signs of drought stress. By day six, these are two independent transgenic lines, and we're beginning to see some pretty severe wilting on our control plants, whereas our transgenic lines are still healthy looking visually, maintaining target pressure and showing minimal signs of any wilt. So we went for a 7-day period without water, and then we monitored it, the rehydration period. This is 24 hours after our drought treatment. And you can see our transgenic plant visually has recovered quite nicely from any drought stress, while our non-transgenic plant is still showing signs of drought stress. Now, 5 days following rewatering, so it's received water for the last 5 days, our transgenic plant has not only recovered, but it's producing new shoot growth and growing quite well, whereas our non-transgenic plant still has not recovered very well from the drought episode. And we just took a few root samples just to see what was going on in the root tissue. And these are both transgenic plants. The one on your left has been well watered. The one on your right has been under that 7-day drought period and then rewatered for 5 days. And then both of these plants were under drought stress. The one on your left was our control. The one on your right is the transgenic plant. That's kind of something what you would expect based on these shoot growth. And the final picture I'll share with you, on your left is the control. This is well watered, so it was never under any period of stress. And on the right is our transgenic plant, and this was under stress for 7 days without water and then rewatered for 5 days following. Okay, so some future work. There's quite a bit of work still to be done with this project. A lot more molecular analysis, southern blots, western, northern blots. This will really provide a lot of information, mRNA levels, level of protein expression, and just how well this gene is integrated into the genome of bentgrass. And then we'll conduct more formal studies, of course, and collect a wide variety of parameters, as noted here. And then we'll also evaluate the potential for enhancing salt tolerance in bentgrass with this gene. So I guess to conclude, or a take-home message from this presentation, overexpressing the AVP1 gene successfully enhances drought and salt tolerance in other dicot species. This gene seems to influence ion selectivity rather than influencing the behavior of the stomates. And finally, this may play a possible role in root development, indicating it may play a role in hormone levels and hormone transport within the plant, potentially. And with that, thank you for your attention, and if there are any questions, take a few.
We have time for questions.
Yep. Have we mowed? Have we started mowing them, basically? And no, we have not. And our first goal of this project was, can we get the gene into this plant? And we seem to have done that relatively well. But absolutely, that's something in the future to do. How does this react under normal management conditions? Absolutely. Yeah, does pH play a role in this? And I'm not really sure at this point. I'm not sure if anyone's really looked at that. But that's certainly something to look into in the future, absolutely. So.
We have time for one more question.
I guess for this project, how do we include our control plants? We just had a seed provided to us of pin A4, but we didn't specifically select certain seeds for that.